Have you ever wondered what happens when the script you're holding becomes more than just words on a page? Annabelle Monaghan's It's a Love Story has been quietly captivating readers since its release, becoming a sleeper hit that celebrities like Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston have been spotted carrying between takes on set. This charming midlife romance has been compared to Nancy Meyers' films for its perfect blend of humor, heart, and second chances. Critics praise Monaghan's sharp-shooting wit and ability to create stories that feel like slipping into a warm bath, comforting yet invigorating. What makes this book particularly special is how it explores the intersection between the stories we tell on screen and the ones we live in real life, asking whether we can ever truly separate the two when our hearts are involved. Jane Jackson's life has been defined by performance since childhood, a path that began at age 11 when she landed the role of Janie Jakes on the hit teen sitcom Pop Rocks. As the socially awkward keyboardist in the show's fictional band, she spent her formative years being the designated comic relief, the character whose every misstep and embarrassment was punctuated by a laugh track and her infamous catchphrase, "Poor Janie." The role, while career-launching, became a double-edged sword that would shape her identity far beyond the series' five-season run. The show transformed Jane's life financially, catapulting her and her single mother from a cramped one-bedroom apartment and food stamps to a comfortable house in Studio City. Her mother, a former waitress who became her manager, handled every aspect of Jane's career with meticulous care, from contract negotiations to media training. But this security came at a price. Jane's childhood became a carefully choreographed performance, with every public appearance and interview scripted to maintain her adorkable image. Now at 33, Jane has traded teen stardom for a behind-the-scenes role as a creative executive at Clearwater Studios, yet the performative habits persist. She approaches dating like a method actor preparing for the role of desirable woman, maintaining spreadsheets, tracking her word count during dates, rehearsing casual reactions in the mirror, and suppressing her natural wit. Despite being known on set for her quick comebacks and clever improvisations, she deliberately dims her humor around potential romantic partners, convinced by years of Hollywood typecasting that men prefer women who laugh at their jokes rather than make their own. Her current passion project, a screenplay called True Story, represents everything she's been searching for, both professionally and personally. The script, a nuanced romance about two people learning to be authentic with each other, resonates deeply with Jane's own struggles with vulnerability. When her pragmatic boss, Nathan, suggests the script needs a commercial hook to get greenlit, Jane makes an impulsive claim that could either make or break the project. She promises to secure an original song from Jack Quinlan, the chart-topping musician whose current success masks his own complicated past as a former child star. The catch lies in their shared history, a mortifying encounter at a young Hollywood party when Jane was 14. After an innocent first kiss, Jack had publicly rejected her, spawning tabloid headlines that haunted her throughout high school. Her desperate lie about securing his involvement not only puts her career on the line, but forces Jane to confront the narrative she's constructed about herself since that night, a story of unworthiness that she's allowed to direct her life for far too long. Jane approaches relationships with the calculated precision of an actress preparing for a role, treating each date as if it were a carefully choreographed scene. She has meticulously crafted rules for every aspect of dating, from the precise timing of text responses to the exact number of personal anecdotes to share per hour. "I act like a woman anyone would want to date," she explains, tracking her words with the vigilance of someone diffusing a bomb, carefully curating her personality to be interested but not too interested. This performance extends beyond behavior into a detailed wardrobe strategy, with specific outfits designated for specific dating milestones. Her red fourth date dress still hangs unworn in her closet, tags intact, a poignant symbol of relationships that never progress beyond the early stages of careful performance. The orchestrated nature of Jane's dating life manifests in countless ways. She times her bathroom breaks to create artificial mystery, practices her laugh to sound more melodious, and even prepares conversation topics in advance, complete with well-timed pauses for effect. She approaches each date like a director blocking a scene, leaving nothing to chance or spontaneity. Her dating notebook contains detailed post-date analyses, measuring success against predetermined metrics of dateable behavior. The tragic irony is that Jane's performance-based approach to relationships becomes the very barrier to meaningful connection. By the fourth date, if things progress that far, men invariably sense the artificiality beneath her perfect facade. The woman they're dating feels more like a carefully constructed character than a real person with authentic thoughts and feelings. Jane's roommate Clem, who serves as both confidant and voice of reason, sees through this elaborate charade. "Use your actual voice," she pleads during one particularly honest late-night conversation. "Be funny and raw. You're the goddamn bomb, okay?" But Jane has spent so long hiding behind scripts and costumes that accessing her authentic self feels like trying to recall a long-forgotten language. This disconnect traces directly back to Jane's childhood experience as the perpetual punchline on Pop Rocks, where authenticity led to public humiliation. Being herself meant being laughed at, not with, by millions of viewers every week. When she finally reveals her dating protocol to Dan, his concerned response, rather than amusement, marks a turning point. He recognizes her elaborate performance for what it truly is, a sophisticated defense mechanism designed to prevent vulnerability and shield against potential rejection. Jane's journey toward authenticity begins when she realizes that the very performances that once served as protective armor in childhood have become prison bars in adulthood, preventing genuine connection. The script, True Story, becomes both metaphor and vehicle for Jane's transformation, a narrative where characters dare to show up imperfect and vulnerable, where love becomes possible precisely because of authenticity rather than in spite of it. Through writing this story, Jane begins to understand that real connection requires dropping the act and risking being seen for who she truly is. When Jane accompanies Dan to his family home in Oak Shore for his parents' 40th anniversary, she encounters a family dynamic entirely foreign to her experience as an only child raised by a single mother. The Finnegan household is chaotic, loud, and overflowing with love, brothers who tease mercilessly but defend fiercely, parents whose love remains palpable after 40 years, and a constant flow of nieces, nephews, and in-laws creating a tapestry of belonging that both intimidates and fascinates Jane. The Finnegans represent everything Jane has never had: stability, history, and unconditional acceptance. Their home is filled with traditions and inside jokes, and even their arguments come from a place of deep connection. When Dan's brother Connor criticizes him for missing family events, it's because his absence is genuinely felt. For Jane, who has spent her life performing to be accepted, the Finnegans' willingness to love each other despite, and sometimes because of, their flaws is revolutionary. Particularly striking is Dan's parents' marriage. Cormac and Renee share a comfortable intimacy that manifests in small gestures, hands casually entwined on a sunflower pillow while watching Seinfeld reruns, the way they're always aware of each other's presence in a room like they're each other's house keys. Their relationship embodies Renee's philosophy that love happens over breakfast rather than over candlelit dinners. "No one wears lipstick to breakfast," she tells Jane, explaining that true intimacy comes from showing up as your unadorned self day after day. Through the Finnegans, Jane glimpses what authentic belonging looks like, a family where no one hides behind performances or carefully constructed personas. This vision both attracts and terrifies her, as it challenges her fundamental belief that she must perform to be worthy of love. When she eventually sabotages her relationship with Dan, what hurts most is losing not just him, but the sense of belonging she found with his family. A glimpse of something I don't get to keep. At the heart of Jane's inability to believe in love lies a childhood wound that has shaped her entire identity. When she was 5, her father left before his death, explicitly stating he didn't want to be her dad anymore. Though her mother created a beautiful love story about her father to protect her, Jane discovered the truth at 14 when she found a letter in which her father described being her parent as brutal. This discovery coincided with Jack Quinlan's rejection, creating a perfect storm that convinced 14-year-old Jane she was fundamentally unlovable. This wound manifests in Jane's adult relationships as a deep-seated belief that no one will stick around for her. She approaches dating with low expectations, seeking a solid guy with dental insurance who shows up when he says he will, rather than true connection. When she begins falling for Dan, her instinct is to sabotage the relationship before he can reject her, telling herself, "This just isn't a thing that I do." Jane's mother perpetuates this pattern by continuing to romanticize her relationship with Jane's father, maintaining the fiction that he was the love of her life who died tragically young. This well-intentioned lie creates distance between mother and daughter, as Jane feels she can't share her true knowledge and pain. When Jane finally confronts her mother about the deception, she explains, "I know you lied because you thought the truth would hurt me, but I found out anyway, and the lying made it worse." The healing process begins when Jane acknowledges that her core belief that she's not compelling enough to love is a story she's been telling herself rather than an objective truth. As her roommate Clem points out, you hold on to shame really tight, like it's your identity. Letting go of this narrative requires tremendous courage, as it means facing the possibility that she is worthy of love after all, and that she might have sabotaged relationships that could have fulfilled her. Throughout the novel, the theme of truly seeing and being seen emerges as central to authentic connection. Dan, as a cinematographer, has a literal professional capacity for seeing what others miss, but his ability extends beyond the camera to recognizing the essence of people around him. When he looks at Jane, he sees beyond her carefully constructed persona to the vulnerable, funny, passionate woman beneath. This quality is most evident when Dan tells Jane exactly what he loves about her. Specific details like how she balls her hands when angry, how she protects him socially, and how he sees a whole world in her eyes. This moment of being truly seen moves Jane deeply, as it contradicts her core belief that she's not compelling enough to hold someone's attention. The contrast between Dan's way of seeing Jane and Jack Quinlan's dismissive treatment highlights this theme. Jack sees only Janie Jakes, the awkward character from television, or at best, kinda hot, but kinda ridiculous. His inability to see beyond her public persona to her authentic self reflects his own superficiality. When he cruelly dismisses her as not compelling enough, he's unknowingly reinforcing her deepest wound. The theme extends to Jane's professional life as well. The script, True Story, resonates with her because it depicts characters who truly see each other, flaws and all, and love each other anyway. This vision of love as the result of authentic recognition rather than performance speaks to Jane's deepest longing. When she defends the script to Nathan, saying, "There's something different about the romance, it's believable," she's articulating her hunger for relationships based on genuine seeing rather than performance. Jane's healing journey involves learning to see herself clearly as well. Through her relationship with Dan, she becomes quiet enough around him to see myself clearly, recognizing her true self, her capabilities, and where she's been afraid to trust her instincts. This self-recognition is as crucial as being seen by others, allowing Jane to move beyond her limiting narratives toward authentic connection. Jane's journey toward love demands a fundamental shift from performance to vulnerability that challenges her core identity. Having spent decades meticulously crafting personas and hiding behind carefully rehearsed scripts and elaborate costumes, the prospect of showing up as her authentic self terrifies her. Each carefully constructed layer of protection, her wit, her charm, her practiced responses, served as armor against genuine connection. Yet the moments when she allows herself to be vulnerable, whether sharing her painful childhood wounds with Dan or admitting her growing feelings for him, create the deepest, most meaningful connections of her life. This theme is beautifully illustrated when Jane helps Ruby, Dan's 12-year-old niece, overcome paralyzing stage fright during her Let It Go performance at the anniversary party. Jane recognizes her own fears mirrored in Ruby's trembling hands and hesitant steps. Instead of offering empty platitudes, Jane steps forward to demonstrate the choreography herself, deliberately making small mistakes and laughing them off, showing Ruby that it's okay to share yourself even when you don't know how it will be received. In helping Ruby find her courage, Jane unconsciously practices the very vulnerability she struggles with herself. A moment made more poignant because the gathered crowd sees both her imperfection and her genuine desire to help. The physical intimacy between Jane and Dan represents another profound layer of vulnerability. Jane confesses she's never had fun during sex before, having approached physical intimacy with the same performative mindset as her emotional connections, always conscious of how she looked, what sound she made, whether she was meeting expectations. With Dan, she experiences an unprecedented mix of intensity and joy that comes from being fully present and unguarded. Their lovemaking becomes truly transformative when they maintain eye contact throughout, boundaryless, as Jane describes it, with nothing hidden between them. This intimate connection forces Jane to confront her habit of disconnecting during vulnerable moments. Jane's ultimate act of vulnerability comes when she climbs atop the Don't Give Up billboard to win Dan back after sabotaging their relationship through her old patterns of withdrawal and self-protection. This grand gesture represents her willingness to risk public humiliation for love, the very thing she's avoided her entire life. Standing exposed 40 feet above the ground, she can no longer hide behind clever words or practiced smiles. When she tells Dan that being with him was the most beautiful thing that's ever happened to me, she's completely exposed, with no script to hide behind, no costume to wear, and no character to play. The novel suggests that true connection requires this kind of radical vulnerability, the courage to show up as your full, flawed self rather than a carefully curated performance. Through Jane's transformation, we see that vulnerability isn't weakness, but perhaps the greatest strength of all, allowing for the possibility of being truly loved for who you are rather than who you pretend to be. Her journey demonstrates that while the risk of rejection feels overwhelming, the reward of authentic connection makes every moment of exposure worthwhile. Jane's journey toward authenticity is symbolized by her rediscovery of her singing voice. As a teenager on Pop Rocks, Jane was the uncredited singing voice behind Haley Soul's character, her talent hidden while another took the spotlight. After Jack's rejection, Jane abandoned singing altogether, silencing not just her literal voice, but her authentic self-expression. The reemergence of Jane's voice parallels her growing comfort with her true identity. When she plays Jumpstart Love Song on the keyboard at the Owl Barn, her fingers remember the notes from muscle memory, though she instinctively withdraws into the background. This moment represents her tentative steps toward reclaiming her voice, though still not fully owning it. Later, when Ruby freezes during her performance, Jane steps forward to sing and demonstrate the choreography, using her voice to empower another while beginning to reclaim her own power. This act of generosity becomes a turning point, allowing Jane to experience the joy of authentic expression without the fear that defined her teenage years. By the novel's conclusion, Jane's hit song Can't Find My You is climbing the charts again, this time with her as the acknowledged artist. As she sings to Dan in the car, one hand on the wheel, one in his, she reflects on recording the song as a heartbroken almost 15-year-old. so much stronger than I gave myself credit for. Her adult voice is out of practice and newly retrieved, symbolizing her reclaimed authenticity. The metaphor extends beyond singing to Jane finding her voice in all aspects of life, speaking her truth to her mother about her father's abandonment, expressing her genuine feelings to Dan, and advocating for the project she believes in professionally. As she describes it in the final lines, "The air comes into my lungs and comes out as music, something out of nothing, and also something out of everything." This beautiful image captures the essence of authentic self-expression, drawing from the deepest parts of oneself to create something both personal and universal. It's a Love Story explores the complex relationship between fiction and truth, particularly how the stories we tell can either obscure or reveal deeper realities. Jane grows up with two significant fictions, her mother's romanticized version of her father and her own performance as Janie Jakes. Both narratives shape her identity in profound ways, creating a disconnect between her external presentation and internal experience. The script, True Story, represents a different kind of storytelling, one that reveals rather than conceals. Jane is drawn to it precisely because it feels authentic, depicting love as the result of showing up as your full, broken self rather than a perfect performance. When she defends the script to Nathan and Dan, she's advocating for storytelling that reflects emotional truth rather than commercial formulas. This theme extends to Jane's relationship with her mother, where years of maintaining a shared fiction about her father created distance rather than protection. Their healing begins when they commit to honesty, however painful. "I think we should start over," Jane suggests, "with the truth this time." This commitment to truthful storytelling allows them to build an authentic connection based on mutual understanding rather than protective lies. The novel itself becomes a meta-commentary on storytelling, as Jane's journey mirrors the arc of the script she's fighting for, a story about finding love through authenticity rather than performance. When she defends the script to Nathan and Dan, she's advocating for storytelling that reflects emotional truth rather than commercial formulas. This theme extends to Jane's relationship with her mother, where years of maintaining a shared fiction about her father created distance rather than protection. Their healing begins when they commit to honesty, however painful. "I think we should start over," Jane suggests, "with the truth this time." This commitment to truthful storytelling allows them to build an authentic connection based on mutual understanding rather than protective lies. The novel itself becomes a meta-commentary on storytelling, as Jane's journey mirrors the arc of the script she's fighting for, a story about finding love through authenticity rather than performance. By the conclusion, Jane has become the protagonist of her own true story, embracing vulnerability and honesty in both her personal and professional life. The power of truthful storytelling is perhaps best captured in the image of Dan's ivy-covered arbor, which perfectly frames the potato field where rows of crops converge in the distance. Like this carefully constructed viewfinder that reveals natural beauty, good stories don't fabricate truth, but frame it in ways that help us see its inherent meaning and connection. Jane's growth comes from learning to frame her own story truthfully, acknowledging both her wounds and her worthiness, rather than hiding behind comforting fictions or protective performances. In the 18 months that followed Jane's reconciliation with Dan, her personal and professional lives intertwine in ways that mirror the script she fought so passionately to produce. True Story becomes not just a film project, but a metaphor for Jane's own journey toward authentic love. The script's central theme, that love comes from being brave enough to show up as your full, flawed self, becomes Jane's lived reality with Dan. Their relationship isn't perfect. They argue all the way to set, but hold hands all the way back. But it's real, grounded in mutual acceptance rather than performance. Their morning routine develops a comforting rhythm, with coffee on the porch and Jane's Pop-Tarts that Dan teases her about. These small domestic moments echo Reenie's wisdom that love happens over breakfast in all its unadorned authenticity. Professionally, Jane's voice is finally recognized as her song Can't Find My You climbs the charts again, this time with her as the acknowledged artist rather than the hidden talent behind Haley Soul. This public reclamation of her voice parallels her personal growth in speaking her truth and owning her story. The novel concludes with Jane driving home with Dan, singing, in my out-of-practice, newly-retrieved, grown-up voice. This image beautifully captures Jane's transformation. She's no longer hiding behind scripts or performances, but expressing herself authentically, creating something out of nothing and also something out of everything. Her story has come full circle, from a child actress reciting others' words to a woman authoring her own narrative, both professionally and personally. In this final scene, Jane reflects on her teenage self with newfound compassion, recognizing she was so much stronger than I gave myself credit for. This perspective shift represents the culmination of her healing journey, seeing her past clearly without shame, understanding how it shaped her without being defined by it, and embracing her full story with all its complications and contradictions. In doing so, Jane finally becomes the protagonist of her own true love story, one where authenticity, vulnerability, and truth create a happy ending more satisfying than any script could provide.